you know, the astronaut job is a pretty cool job. You get to train and go fly in space, and so it's obviously a position folks would be interested in applying for. We did quite of an extensive communications and outreach effort to be sure we had a reasonable number of applications, and certainly that worked. And I think maybe the other thing is NASA's been in the news a lot lately with the fact that we have stopped flying shuttle, and we've got things going with our commercial partners and things like that. So when you're in the news, people remember you're around. So I think it's probably a combination of factors.
Mm-hmm. Now you got 6,300 applications. It looks like that's about double the average and more than since 1978. I guess one of the questions I have is how has the profile of the kind of astronaut NASA wants or needs changed since maybe the era of the shuttle or even the Apollo era? What kinds of skill sets and backgrounds are you looking for?
I guess there's two answers to that. One of the answers is that the kind of people we're looking for are basically the same kind of people. We need a variety of different people with a variety of different backgrounds, engineers, scientists, pilots, medical doctors, those kinds of things. And the thing we need for them to be able to do when they get here is the operational job that an astronaut does. You know, it's a practical, technical, hands-on kind of activity. So that part hadn't changed. And what's changed is kind of the flavor of the mission. It's a long-duration mission now. And so you have to take into consideration more things along the personal and the personality kinds of issues. But I think the basic person still looks about the same.
You guys got 6,300 applications. Obviously, you have not had a chance to go through them all. But does it really hit the wide range of people? Anyone from, you know, I think of NASA and astronauts. I have to bring up Homer Simpson in the episode of The Simpsons when Homer was asked to be an astronaut, to all the way the most qualified pilot that you have in the Air Force. Do you get the whole range, or do you really have a focus group that comes in and applies?
We absolutely get the whole range. The whole range. Now, this time, with the numbers we got, those are still making their way through the systems to get to us, so we can start looking at them. So we're not really sure what the mix of applications is at this point. Obviously, we're interested in reaching every segment of the country, every segment of society, and hope folks from all areas will apply. But right now, we don't know what we have, except we got 6,372 applications.
Well, I think it would be fascinating to kind of break down kind of where people fall on the spectrum, just because I think that, you know, when you put out a something like this, there's so much interest in everyone. You know, if you remember the certain age and certain people say, I want to grow up and be an astronaut. And I think that's probably part of the reason why there's a lot of interest.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're very interested to see what we've got once we were able to get through them and kind of look at where they came from and what kind of folks have applied.
Well, let me ask a similar question to the one I asked earlier, but this one as to, you know, the kinds of training and day-to-day activities that an astronaut performs today compared to the shuttle era. How's that changed from maybe a few years ago, if at all?
Certainly the basic training has changed a good bit prior to this. Well, I guess the last class, we train them the same way we'll train this class. But the classes prior to that, the biggest part of their training was the shuttle systems training. And then on top of that, once they got through their basic training, we did robotics training and spacewalk EVA training. With the classes we have, the last class in this one, we're not going to do any significant shuttle training, even though there's a few legacy things we still want them to know. But it's primarily International Space Station systems training. And anybody we send to space station, you have to expect them to do everything that comes along. So everyone may have to do a spacewalk. Everyone may have to do robotics. So all of that training is part of their basic training program. And in addition, since we're flying primarily with the Russians right now, we give them Russian language training. So they learn a lot of different things. They learn to fly. They learn a lot of different disciplines. But the key things are space station systems, robotics, EVA, and Russian language.
Am I right in guessing that this group that's going to come in the class that you're selecting right now will probably be among the first people on the new commercial crew launch systems?
Probably. That would make sense given the timeline that we're working to. It certainly could be that some of the last class or even the class before that could be crew members for those kind of missions. But certainly we would expect these people we're selecting now down the stream somewhere would be.
And I wonder if is it a challenge to go through the kind of training that you need to, given that you don't know exactly what those systems are going to look like yet?
The answer is yes. The systems for the commercial vehicles certainly aren't mature enough at this point that we could start building any kind of training scenario around them. But once you get the basic skills of working with systems and dealing with systems, no matter what your spaceship looks like, a lot of those systems are going to be similar. How you interface with them might be different, but if you have some basic understanding of a spacecraft systems, then you have a leg up on whatever comes down the pike.
NASA's reviewing the applications now. What happens between now and spring 2013 when you make your final selection? What kind of process do you go through to whittle it down?
Okay, well, good question. It's about probably about a four-step process. The first thing we have to do is to get the applications in so we can look at them. And I might add at this point, a human being looks at every one of them. We don't have any computer system that helps us screen applications. We want somebody to look at each and every one of them. But we do have quite a high percentage of folks who don't meet the basic qualifications. And so our first effort is to go through, screen out those, and see what we have in terms of the qualified applicants. At that point, we put together a group called a rating panel, which is primarily senior astronauts, folks who have flown in space and who know the job better than anyone, and we go through all that, those applications, and kind of narrow it down to something workable. 6,300 is not workable, so we try to get it down in somewhere around the 400 range. Then out of that group, we'll get some qualitative data. We'll get some references, find out what kind of folks we're dealing with, and start collecting some basic medical information. Our next step would be we'll do an initial interview with about 120 of those folks, bring them down for an initial interview and some preliminary medical screening and a few other things we will do. And then out of that group, we'll bring back about 40 or 50 for a final interview and complete medical evaluation. And then out of that group, we'll select our 10 to 15 folks who will come on board in the summer of 2013.
And of those 10 or 15 folks you do eventually select, how many of them actually will make it to space?
We hope all of them. That's the reason we select them. And we have a pretty good success rate. The training is a lot, and it is difficult, but we have a lot of outstanding training folks here that go out of their way to be sure everyone gets through. We don't want anybody to screen out. So my going-in position is all of them, and we hope that it works that way.